Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning, Bryce Edwards from Victoria University. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Johnny.
Now, this morning we're starting things off. Obviously, big news over the weekend was the attempted assassination of Donald Trump.
Yes, look, you know, this was unsuccessful, but it's raised questions in other parts of the world, including New Zealand, about whether, you know, this is a trend and whether we are actually seeing a more polarised and toxic politics happening in which, you know, people might be more tempted to, you know, take on violent approaches to dealing with these things. So we're having some calls, you know, around for especially political leaders to tone down some of their vitriol. With this idea that, you know, you've got people like the ACT leader, David Seymour, talking about blowing up government departments. You've got Party Māori leaders talking about the government being a genocidal, white supremacist government. And maybe this sort of escalates the tensions and, you know, it can create an atmosphere whereby, people just get more and more angry you start getting more threats against politicians and politics becomes a bit less safe and politicians have to start, you know, being having more security and less contact with the public.
Yeah, I mean, what steps do you think Aotearoa should take to prevent political violence and maintain a healthy democratic discourse?
Oh, look, it's a complicated one and I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers, but I do think we have to get better at political debate. Like, we have lots of important issues to have differences over. You know, debates around the Treaty of Waitangi, race, are really important. Sometimes I think we do treat our opponents as enemies and as part of the problem. We've got to sort of start having a bit more good faith, disagreements where we can admit that the other side might be wrong, but aren't evil. It's not that we should suddenly become moderates and centrists and all just, get along, but we somehow have to tone things down so that we can actually have some good dialogue and some, you know, debate like we have on these discussions on BFM.
Now, I mean, it's only been a few days, and I know this is probably going to be a difficult question to answer, but how would you say the attempted assassination of Trump has been perceived by the general public in Aotearoa?
Oh, look, you know, Trump isn't very popular in this country. Certainly when he was president last time, there were surveys to show how kind of, there was very little support for him in this country. There was a lot of concern about what he was doing globally and in America. So, you know, there won't be any great sympathy for him in terms of his politics, but, I don't think there'd be many people that would be cheering this on or thinking it's a good way of dealing with differences, and they would be worried if this sort of thing started to translate. I mean, we saw with especially the last time, well, not last time, listed, but the Jacinda Ardern, when she was leader of the country, there was a lot of vitriol towards her. Things started heating up. And I think, you know, everyone saw that that wasn't the way to go.
Yeah, you see.
A bit more of it also with Luxon, some crazy conspiracies about him, et cetera, and some hatred towards him. So, yeah, I think people would, see that this is a pretty dark place to go.
Now, Shane Jones, MP Shane Jones, has set up an undeclared dinner with the heads of a mining company. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, so Shane Jones is the Minister for Resources, so, you know, he has to deal with mining and resource extraction. He had a meeting, an informal dinner meeting with three bosses of mining companies down in Westport back in February. And we have these rules now in New Zealand whereby ministers have to disclose all their meetings where they deal with lobbyists and
heads of industry.
And heads of industry.
Yes.
In this case, J- Jones and his office didn't disclose it in the ministerial diaries that get published on the Beehive website, and this was kind of discovered by accident, really. Journalists asked, you know, what happened here? And he said, oh, look, I was just having an informal meeting. You know, I was down on the West Coast. I caught up with some old mates. It wasn't scheduled. You know, sometimes you just run into people. And so, but then it turned out that
he'd set it up.
His staff actually had set it up 4 days before
And
invited these people. And so there's no reasons at all for it not to be declared. But Shane Jones is still sort of making light of it and saying, it's just a bit of a cock up, nothing to worry about here. And, you know, sometimes I do meet with all sorts of people and I'm wearing my New Zealand First hat in these situations, and I don't have to declare these meetings.
What a
learning
couple is.
A bit murky.
Now, what does this situation reveal about the relationship between the government and the mining industry?
Well, we now know that Shane Jones was suggesting to these leaders, these business executives, that they should try to use the government's new fast-track legislation if they want to get their new mines opened when they're having trouble getting resource consent. And so, now we know that they're a bit more cosy and that this fast-track bill is something to be a bit more concerned of about, because, you know, obviously we've got Shane Jones going around the country making friends with business people and telling them, you know, how to get around the rules.
Oh, no. I mean, can you elaborate on the importance of ministerial diary entries and the impact of an omission like this one?
Yeah, I mean, in politics, it's just always important for the public to know what our leaders are doing. It's kind of the right, it's just a democratic right that these things shouldn't be totally in secret. And so we can make our decisions then about, what government's doing. If we know that they're meeting with lobbyists, whether they're meeting with various vested interests. And so it's kind of a transparency mechanism to guard against, you know, corruption, guard against bad decisions being made. And so I'm not really sure we can have as much faith that ministers are actually following, you know, the rules, or at least the spirit of the rules.
Do you think Christopher Luxon will play a part in addressing this controversy?
Well, he hasn't so far.
Yeah.
It's always a bit difficult in coalition governments because, of course, Luxon is the National Party leader.
Mm.
Shane Jones is from New Zealand First. And so, you know, I think he's more inclined to come down hard on people from his own party, whereas if he starts intervening in with New Zealand First, you might find that Winston Peters gets upset. It can, you know, create instability in the coalition. So I think Luxon's just hoping that this story will go away.
Oh man. Ooh. Now, I guess on a similar note, New Zealand's future climate targets are in jeopardy. Can you elaborate on this, Bryce?
Yeah, so the government put out its five-point plan for dealing with climate change about a week ago, and then yesterday they put out their draft emissions reduction plan. And so this has got, you know, climate scientists, environmentalists looking over it, and it's been discovered that this new plan isn't going to reduce New Zealand's emissions of carbon, of methane, enough to meet the commitments we've made under various international agreements, that we reduce, you know, our emissions by a certain amount for 2050. We will meet them for years before that, but they'll start getting a bit more out of control. And this is partly because of some of the changes that the government's made in getting rid of some of, like, the electric vehicle subsidies and so forth. So the government's got some other mechanisms they're bringing in. They want to plant a lot more trees. They want to start using more technology that's going to be able to supposedly suck carbon out of some of the manufacturing processes and and stop it getting into the atmosphere. But environmentalists and climate scientists are a bit sceptical about how well those techniques are actually going to work.
Yes, so, I think the Greens described it as wishful thinking.
Yeah. I mean, we have to have some wishful thinking because, you know, we need to be able to, I mean, throughout the world there are some technologies that are being developed that might really help climate change. But if we put all our eggs into that basket and have too much wishful thinking that's going to save us, then, yeah, we could be overly optimistic.
Now, one last question for you. So Labour leader Chris Hipkins has criticised almost every decision made by the current government as hindering rather than advancing emission reduction efforts. In your view, how much of this criticism is rooted in political opposition versus genuine environmental concern?
Oh, that's a great question. Hard to answer, but certainly it's the job of the opposition to really scrutinise and, you know, point out where the government's doing things wrong. So I think all his criticisms are good, but of course Labor wasn't really doing much better when they were in government.
Yes.
So I don't know. It is political. It's it is point scoring to some degree. But I think people take that into account when evaluating those things.
Yes. Hey, Bryce Edwards from Victoria University, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Cheers, thanks, Johnny.
We'll look forward to speaking in a couple of weeks, mate.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.